with over 25 years of experience integrating mental health and spirituality, the author of Reclaiming Authenticity, When Ancestors Weep, and Redeeming the Bereaved. Here is Dr. James Houck.
Everybody, good afternoon to one and all, and wherever you are in the world at this time, welcome to Reclaiming Authenticity, the show that focuses on finding your courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. I am glad to be back with you after last week's hiatus, and a little break here. You know, things are changing a little bit, and like I said, just glad to be back with you live and coming through the airwaves, and appreciate you spending this hour with me. I've always been grateful now in my second year of broadcasting, and so I appreciate everybody who has been following me so far. So for those of you who might be new to the program, just like to say that reclaiming authenticity was something, a concept that was just kind of laid upon my heart, just given to me as from the universe, from God and the universe, and just something that evolved over several years. Years of my own just personal reclaiming of my own authentic self, and just realizing that just being moved into an area in my life in which helping other people to reclaim those things that have always been in them. And it's this awareness of the vastness of who we are as souls and so forth. And as I thought about this more and more, my tagline is finding one's courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. And it really does take courage, because, you know, many times we want to hang on to the past, or let's say we can't imagine something better for our lives or in our lives, let alone discovering who we really are, because this involves us letting go of things, you know, attitudes, perceptions, and the like that no longer serve us, but keep us wounded, just keep us in place, and we just keep going around and round in circles and just struggling with the same old thing, and nothing's changing, but we expect changes, and it just gets frustrating, and then we just, you know, we want to throw up our hands and say, what's the point? Well, when we take a hard look at ourselves, and we realize that the very best of ourselves has yet to be explored, yet to be discovered, yet to be lived, yet to be shown, that is very exciting, yet can also be very intimidating, because, like I said, it does take courage. Okay, but that is the whole process of letting go of those things that no longer serve us, and then taking on something better, something more life-giving, more authentic to who we truly are. Well, as I said at the beginning, very excited to be with you here today. I'm here every Friday at 3:00 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Time, and any other time in between. So each and every week, these broadcasts are dedicated to the integration of spirituality and our mental health. And for the longest time, especially down through history, it seems as though the field of mental health and religion and spirituality, you know, have just been opposed to one another, thinking that, you know, whoever has truth owns the conversation. And that's simply just not true. It's very limited. But whenever we incorporate, whenever we integrate, whenever we discover more about our own spirituality and our mental health, we find that the two disciplines fit nicely together. And in fact, they actually enhance one another, and it opens our understanding to just many, many, many more things that we have yet to discover. So, as I said, each and every week, these broadcasts focus on the integration of our spirituality and our mental health, but yet it's all placed within the context of relationships, the relationships with ourselves, the relationships that we have with one another, and certainly our relationship with God or the divine and the universe. And the reason why I place such an emphasis on this is necessary to integrate within relationships is because when you think about it, our deepest physical, emotional, psychological, even spiritual wounds, the things that we experience most hurt in our lives, often come in and through relationships. And yet the irony is we can also discover our greatest healing and strength and peace and forgiveness and love through healthier relationships. And these relationships just might be within our own families. They might be found within our coworkers and friends. Yeah, you just never know. You know, I always love to say that God works behind the scenes, and you just don't know what God is lining up here. And God uses everything in our lives, leaves nothing to waste, to either teach us a lesson or to show us something about ourselves or to take us into, as we'll be talking about today, into the just higher and greater dimensions of awareness of who we are. Because whenever we transform, we also transform others by our presence and our grace and our understanding. But first, the forgiveness, kindness, and compassion begins with how we treat ourselves. Because whenever we are more compassionate with ourselves, we then can be more compassionate with others. And when we are more forgiving with ourselves, then we can be more forgiving with others. And when we're able to live in gratitude with ourselves, we then discover how this opens up our hearts to see and live in gratitude with others. So all in all, transformation, first and foremost, begins with us. Well, I'm Dr. James Hauck, and if you would like more information about me or to leave me your comments about today's show, I just invite you to visit the website. It's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity, all one word there. So www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. And these broadcasts are now podcasted in case you ever want to go back and listen again to a show that you had heard previously, or you can even go back into the archives and listen to previous shows. And as I said at the beginning, I just wanted to thank everybody for, you know, their support over the past year. And now I'm in my second year of doing this and just would like to say that you now have the opportunity to continue your support by becoming a monthly subscriber. Now, unlike other shows that are out there in internet radio land, you know, some would charge, you know, a monthly subscriber fee in order to listen to their shows. Well, a subscription fee is not required to listen to my talk shows, but it is greatly, greatly appreciated. So again, if you just go on the website, you will see where there's a place where you can click on to subscribe and choose any amount that you feel comfortable giving. And again, I truly, truly appreciate your support. Well, how is your heart today? That's something that I'm always interested in, not just myself, but also with others. And I hope your heart is well, and I hope overall you are well. And I pray that if you are struggling today, that in some capacity, you will find the rest and comfort and the peace that you need. Well, welcome to today's show. It's a show that's continuing on with you know, the alchemy of authenticity, this theme that's now going to be a pattern for throughout the second year of the broadcast. And this particular show is devoted to accelerated transformation when the universe turns up the heat. And in a little bit, I'll share just how does the universe turn things up. And when we do, we need to hang on because it is an accelerated transformation. Indeed. Well, as I started out the last several weeks, just want to take us back to, let's say, probably a junior high chemistry class or a high school chemistry class, or maybe even had chemistry class in college. But you remember that the physical alchemy was and is concerned with altering and transforming chemical properties within solid matter. And, you know, you had a chemistry class like mine in the lab, you were mixing all kinds of elements together and coming up with different properties. But in the terms of like ancient alchemy, this was something that just fascinated the alchemists, and they were always concerned with finding the elixir of life, or, you know, where they always wanted to change lead into gold. But there's also a spiritual alchemy, which is concerned with freeing your vast spiritual self, which is being hindered within us by the unrefined parts of ourselves. You know, our fears, our limited personal beliefs, our self-loathing, and the list can go on and on and on. These are just parts that need to be transformed. They need to be changed. They need to be refined, okay? Because spiritual alchemy is just certainly, you know, vastly more, let's say, a multifaceted, a fluid, and it's ongoing. You know, it's a continuation, a purification of our hearts. Much like in the same way, if you've ever seen, you know, a smith will turn up the heat beneath a hopper that contains a raw mineral or metal. And as this heat is increased, you know, the impurities or dross comes to the surface, and that just needs to be skimmed off. And it just makes the metal purer than what it was before. And then this process is repeated over and over and again until the metal reaches its finest purity that it can possibly be. Well, when you think about it, we too are going through this process of a spiritual alchemy of authenticity. You know, a call, an urging to move into higher dimensions of our authentic selves. You know, just because we are comfortable with seeing ourselves doesn't mean that we have the big picture. Okay, because, I mean, how often does it feel like the heat is being turned up through past or current events throughout the world? You know, it doesn't take much. Just turn on the news or just pull it up on your iPad or iPhone. And it just seems like the whole world is just losing its mind. You know, just things are exploding all over the place. And we kind of wonder, like, how much more, you know? So it really feels as though, you know, just the heat is being turned up. But when going through the process of a spiritual awakening, you know, certainly sooner or later, we are confronted with the fact that there seems to be so much more to ourselves than the reality we are living in and what we have grown accustomed to. But still, you know, we may find ourselves struggling with how we're triggered by certain events in the world. And yet at the same time, having a more intentional progression in our spirituality, as well as finding that courage to let go of non-life-giving perceptions and experiences in order to embrace more of a higher dimension, or more of our authentic selves, and a desire to live exclusively from, let's say, a heart space of pure light and unconditional love. Well, for those of you who have been following me for some time, you know that I am very fond of quoting from my favorite book, The Alchemist. And my favorite line in The Alchemist is this, that when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. Everything has to transform itself into something better, and to acquire a new personal legend until someday the soul of the world becomes one thing only. And this is a very beautiful thing, very noble thing to pursue, as the alchemist says, our personal legend, which is our meaning, purpose in life, and so forth. And then merging that with the soul of the universe or God or the divine, you know, however you choose to name God, and having the two come together and let that just be the one thing. Very exciting. And yet, I've often found in some people that this could be very unnerving. It's just an unnerving state or place that they find themselves in. especially when they feel like all that they have known before is starting to crumble and evaporate. You know, whenever this happens in our lives, we want to take inventory of ourselves and just, we're not quite sure of ourselves, you know, at times, but also whether or not if all we see, you know, around us is all there is. And yet, we can weather those storms. You know, we may also discover something greater than ourselves is also tugging at our soul. So we'll call it a stronger nudge from God, or that more intentional, dimensional energy, or even a hunger that resonates deep within us by compelling us to go and search to discover the vastness of who we truly are. And we often discover that it is a journey within. And as we go on this journey, we discover that there are things that we need to identify, and let go of and transform in order to embrace the higher, more intense dimensions of spirituality. In other words, you know, rising above those negative mental, emotional, physical, even spiritual triggers that keep us from experiencing the fullness of unconditional love. So what do we do when the universe begins to turn up the heat on this purification process? I mean, what do we do once we become aware that we're being tested or tried? You know, I once had a Lakota friend of mine explain it to me this way. He said that, whenever we are tested and tried by the fire of the universe, it's God's way to see if we are real. You know, it's God's way of seeing, you know, are we committed? And are we serious in our intentions to seek God for all of the right reasons? And that was interesting. You know, I really appreciated how and, you know, what he shared with me. You know, because a lot of times, you know, some people might struggle with, you know, like, well, are angels real? Is God real? And he puts it into a perspective of, like, you know, sometimes God wants to know if we're real and just exactly how serious are we with our intentions. And this is why I believe the image of fire is so often used in the purification process, because fire itself is very transformative. I mean, just next time you're around a campfire or a fireplace, you know, and you have a fire going wherever, you know, just watch it. You know, just put it like a soft glaze of it with your eyes and just listen to it. Watch how it moves. Watch how it changes wood into gas and dust and smoke. And eventually, as that goes up, one day it will return to us in the form of rain and snow and at times ice. So once we become aware of this process, once we realize that the universe is really starting to turn up the heat, we need to surrender to it. I mean, when we think about who is causing our desires to increase and who put those desires in our hearts to begin with, I mean, it's God, you know, but what's clouding that? What is covering that? What is keeping those desires from really being expanded on, embraced, and utilized? Now, it's true that God meets us where we are, but God also wants us, you know, to come into higher dimensions of our self-awareness. And as a result, God transforms us, you know, moves us beyond, let's say, a lower vibrational thinking and feeling and behaving. And when this occurs, all I have to say is you better fasten your seatbelts and hang on. You see, spiritual alchemy is both transforming and transcending. It will take us on a wonderful, wonderful journey. Because whenever we place our lives, our hearts, our souls into the hands of the soul of the universe, that makes all the difference in the world. Earlier this week, I came across a story that was just fascinating. I you know, was reminded of actually a poem that was linked with it, you know, a long time ago, and it was just something reminded of, and just like I had to share that. And it's a story about a young girl who lived in the late 1800s, and her name was Myra Brooks Welch. And she had a special love, just an intense joy for playing the organ. But as she started to get older, she started to suffer badly from arthritis. And in fact, she spent much of her time in a wheelchair. And she wrote with, let's say, inverted pencils in each of her arthritic-stricken, gnarled hands. And then she would pluck out the words on a typewriter. It was just very slow, very tedious. But it wasn't until around 1921 when she wrote, let's say, perhaps the most loved and cherished poem, even to this day, people still love it, that spoke about placing oneself in the hands of God, whose touch and grace turns the ordinary into extraordinary. It goes like this. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What are you bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who will start the bidding for me for this violin? Do I hear a dollar? A dollar? Anybody? Anybody? Anyone? Then two? $2? $2? Only $2? $2? $2? Who will make it three? $3? $3? Okay, $3 once, $3 going twice, and before he could get out and going for three, in the back of the room, way in the back, an old gray-haired man came forward, and he picked up the bow, and he wiped it off with a handkerchief. And then, wiping the dust from the old violin, he started to tighten the loose strings. He played a melody pure and sweet as the angels would sing themselves. And a hush came over the crowd, and then finally the music ceased. And the auctioneer, who the old man handed the violin and bow back to him, said, "Okay, folks, now what will you bid for this old violin? $1,000? Who will make it two? 2,000? Yes, thank you, sir. Who will make it three? 3,000, 3,000, 3,000, twice, 3,000, going, and it's gone." And the people cheered. They just erupted with applause. But then some of them also cried out, "Dear sir, tell us, we don't know and we don't quite understand what changed the violin's worth." Well, just as fast as that question was asked, the answer came. It was the touch of the master's hand. Now, surrendering to the fine tuning in our lives in the hands of God brings us indeed to a greater awareness and a realization that our value and worth was and always is there. And this is what God is trying to get us to see in ourselves. This is what reclaiming authenticity is all about. There's a vastness to ourselves that fills not just the world, but throughout the whole universe with a unique and sweet sound and vibration. As a dear friend shared with me earlier this week, she put it this way. She said, "Our vibrations, in order to merge fully into our freedom, must clarify what is our truth. We can no longer be deluded by the old stories of our pain and suffering and unworthiness and trauma and victimhood, but we are empowered to acknowledge the gift of these challenges in great gratitude. Thank whatever it is in your awareness and release it into freedom. We no longer need to judge or absolve or forgive or carry the old baggage. We claim our sovereignty." And this fine-tuning, as we say, of putting ourselves in the hands of God so that God can change our vibration and just raise us to levels of awareness that we can even possibly fathom, this also, ironically, places a responsibility on us to then go and help raise the vibrational awareness of the entire planet and individuals, in fact, whoever we meet in any given day. And it's also an important element to living in higher dimensions. You know, we help raise the vibrational spiritual awareness of others. But how do we do this? Well, have you ever prayed for somebody? Or have you ever been part of a healing ceremony for them? Or let's say, you know, something else that you have done on behalf of others, serving them in a manner in which your gifts really shine. You know, we do these things so that the people will live. In other words, living in higher dimensions is certainly a catalyst for us to become spiritual advocates and interceding for those who are the most vulnerable in society. You know, in a sense, we raise our voices for those who have yet to find their voice. We pray for those who find it difficult to pray for themselves. We serve others who find it difficult to serve themselves. We empower others who have yet to find that same power in themselves. Far too often, you know, and this is my biggest complaint against spirituality and religions, you know, far too often it's focused on self-gratification. You know, what do I get out of it? You know, how do I benefit? And that might be an okay place to start, but it's not healthy to stay there. Because I mean this, you know, a turning inward is really not a bad thing, but it becomes unbalanced when it doesn't draw us out of ourselves to be a blessing and to serve others. We again, transform to transcend. And this is what living in fifth dimension is all about. Well, I really want to hear your heart on this matter, on this subject, and share your experiences with me. So if you'd like to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I'll be taking your calls after the break. Again, you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity, and I'm your host, Dr. James Houck. I'll be back with you in 1 minute. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Dr. James Houck, and you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. And again, I just wanted to say just thank you for your support over the past year. And I'd like to say that you now have an opportunity to continue your support by becoming a monthly subscriber. As I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, you don't need a monthly subscription to listen to any of my talk shows, but it is greatly appreciated. So just invite you to go to the website and, you know, www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. And you'll see a subscription link. Choose any amount that you feel comfortable giving. And again, I truly, truly appreciate it. Well, just a word about next week's show. I'm going to continue this theme of the alchemy of authenticity as we continue to kind of say, you know, I'd like to say tease out a little bit of just the depth of this. And we can certainly spend the rest of our lives doing this because it's so vast. And when we think about eternity, it's our minds can't grasp a concept like that. And oftentimes when we start talking about vibrational energy and the like, we often run out of words. Yeah, we just don't have, you know, enough words in the human language to be able to capture the depth or every nuance of what it means when we start talking about the spiritual vibrational awareness. Okay, so I invite you to tune in next Friday, same time, 3:00 in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time and noon Pacific Standard Time. Okay. Well, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned a quote from one of my favorite books, The Alchemist, that when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. You know, everything has to transform itself into something better and to acquire a new personal legend, that is, our value, dignity, and worth, until someday the soul of the world becomes only one thing. Okay, and as I also shared, that this is a very wonderful place to be, to have the vastness of ourselves just merge with the vastness of the soul of the world, or God, or as the soul of the world language, as Paulo Coelho writes in The Alchemist. But this can be also a very unsettling place or a state that people might find themselves in, because they may not be, you know, too sure about all this, you know, but it could feel like, you know, really, what's going on here? I can't make sense of anything, especially if, you know, all what we have known previously is starting to crumble and evaporate. You know, we're not so sure of ourselves, and, you know, we're also, you know, not sure of if all that we see is all that there is. Okay. And later on in the book, later on in The Alchemist, there's another great quote that sums up people's fears that they often carry in their hearts, which becomes very detrimental, becomes very debilitating to them. And it's, as I said, later in the book, it's when the main character, Santiago, is having a discussion with his own heart. And he's trying to come to terms with the fears that he feels deeply. And he's having this conversation back and forth. And all of a sudden, he listens to his heart as he hears it say that people are afraid to pursue their most important dreams because they feel that they don't deserve them or that they will be unable to achieve them. But we, their hearts, become fearful just thinking of loved ones who go away forever, or of moments that could have been good but weren't, or of treasures that might have been found but were forever hidden in the sands. Or perhaps to put it another way, what dies inside of us while we live? What dies inside of a person while they're living because of a fear of, I don't deserve anything better? You know, I don't know if I can pursue my dreams. I don't know if I can act on these desires in my heart because it just might cost me everything. And yet that fear overshadows, yeah, there is a cost to it, but what if there is something vastly, vastly greater to be discovered? Something that extends throughout all the generations and benefits all of humanity, enhances the vibration of the world. That's important. That would be worth it. But how many times do we often sell ourselves so short? And we think that, well, God, you know, you don't really have much to work with here. You know, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I'm afraid of my own shadow. I hate to speak in public. And, you know, we come up with one excuse after another. And, you know, it's as if we're catching God off guard. You know, it's as if, you know, like maybe we can think of something that God hasn't thought of first, you know, so God will just say, oh, you know what? That's a very good point. I didn't even consider that. I'm sorry I bothered you. I'll go find somebody else. I guarantee you that has never happened and it never will, because God knows exactly who, you know, is being touched on the shoulder, shall we say. You know, God knows who God is, you know, kind of stirring their hearts. God knows everything there is to know about us, and yet still wants us, still loves us with an unconditional love. And that is something we don't deserve, but it's not a question of whether or not we deserve it, because we'll never get to a point in our lives when we do deserve it. But it's grace. It's a gift. It's love. It's a love that understands that, of course, you don't have all the answers. Of course, you don't have everything. But allow me to help you discover those things. And through my grace, God says, you can do many powerful things, but you got to get your ego out of the way. Because in doing, you know, vibrational work or higher spiritual awareness, no room for the ego. And God just patiently waits for us to, you know, deal with our ego and get it out of the way. So that, you know, through God's grace and God's Spirit, wonderful, mighty things can occur in us and through us. Because, you know, if we have the ego there with us, we're going to try and argue with God and say, well, let me try it this way. I think I can do it better. And again, thinking that, you know, what makes you think that God hasn't already thought this through, you know? So again, ego has to get out of the way. But yeah, it's just imagine, you know, what dies inside of us while we live. What are that untapped potential or, you know, the gifts and graces that we have yet to discover, because we don't want to go too deep, you know, because it just might require us to do something that we're not quite ready to do. And certainly we live in a three-dimensional world. You know, we are governed by time and space and structures and form and so forth. And we also have to contend with, you know, a chronological order of linear time that we often say, well, that's past, present, and future. You know, and this is something that is often experienced through our five senses of what we see or what we hear or what we touch or smell or taste. And yet, how often are we pulled in opposite directions, such as how are we loved or not loved? What do we have? What don't we have? How are we connected to others? How am I disconnected with others? And the classic one, am I good or am I bad? You know, the summer's the time to, you know, watch kids run through a field and they're, you know, hopefully they still play this game. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But if they pick like a daisy or two, you know, and you just, you know, kind of pluck the petals from a daisy and just say, well, he loves me, he loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. And we go through the entire, you know, all the petals on the flower and hopefully it lands on she loves me or he loves me. If not, we're just like, well, I'll go get another flower until it works out in our favor. Okay. But it already at that young age, we're thrown into this dichotomy of comparisons of it's either this or it's that. You know, it's like all or nothing thinking. And that's just not how we are. You know, we perceive things and people as being good or bad, right or wrong, black and white, and in all forms of duality. And these polarities are actually a state of being limited. You know, we have this limited perception. And perhaps we often want to connect with God on this lower level, shall we say, of awareness. And that's fine. You know, because one thing that, you know, scripture from every religion emphasizes is that God is more than happy to meet us where we are. But all these scriptures also say that, you know, this is not God's ultimate desire for us to remain there. And there's so much more for us to realize about God and the universe and ourselves. Or in other words, we ain't seen nothing yet. As I said, strap on that seatbelt and hang on, because the heat is on. You know, but the first step in raising our awareness is to understand that, you know, we're not the body. We're souls within the body. We're a soul in the body, you know. God knew us before we were born and knows everything about us, and yet we have to realize this in ourselves, you know, to see ourselves as souls living in this world. And this is more in line with who we truly are. Okay, and this might be especially difficult to grasp at first because, I mean, think about it this way. No matter how high our spiritual awareness or spiritual attunement becomes, we still have to contend with the physical form that gets hungry. We still have to contend with illnesses and diseases, and we still have to contend with pain, and, you know, the physical form still needs to bathe. Okay. In fact, there's still a lot more work to be done, a lot more food to be grown, a lot more food to be distributed, prepared, and enjoyed. Medicines are needed to be developed, and people need to be educated and trained in how our body works, as well as how to treat the body when it doesn't work. So we certainly need to take care of the body as that vessel that houses our soul. And yet, still, what makes the difference, you know, between identifying as merely a physical form rather than a soul is that we no longer choose to live in fear of everyday life, let alone the dying process, because we realize we're eternal. You know, we can walk each day and we can interact with others knowing that there is more to this life than what our senses can identify with. Because what we see and hear and touch and taste and smell is very beautiful and very good, but it's temporary. And everything else that we have yet to see and hear and touch and taste and smell, those are the eternal things. And it's certainly true. Our bodies also go through a change as our heightened spiritual awareness increases. And we have to honor that. You know, because we go through shifts in our awareness that may cause us to become, you know, say, more tired at times or more sensitive towards light and sound and temperature. You know, we may even go through states of hunger, or we may not even have an appetite. We may even think that we're going crazy. But all of these experiences in the body means that we are shifting into a higher consciousness, and that the body has to adjust in order to handle that vibration. And for me, as I shared this a couple of weeks ago, I know I'm going through a shift when it feels as though at times, you know, time itself speeds up on me, and I often become more sensitive to noise. It's just how my body is responding, but it's going through its own transformation. And, you know, some people may even feel lighter, you know, and again, this has nothing to do with the bathroom scale, you know, but they just feel light. They feel lighter. You know, their thoughts don't weigh them down. They just have a lighter step as they walk and so forth. But how we shift into an increased spiritual experience does affect us physically. But what is really going on here? You know, how and where is it most noticeable? I mean, do we recognize these shifts in our brainwave activities? Yes. What about lower blood pressure? Sure. And how does our DNA shift, let's say, on that cellular level? I mean, we already know that, you know, through meditation, prayer and meditation, that, you know, has a physiological effect on us. It does decrease blood pressure. It lowers the heart rate. It lowers respiration. It helps us to sleep more soundly. It releases neurotransmitters of oxytocin and endorphins, etc. I mean, just research in the 90s just was fascinated by this. And often remember a story I had seen and some pictures of over there in Tibet, you know, and how the scientists got permission to do this, I don't know. But it was just a fascinating study where they went over there and they just wanted to measure the brain waves of the monks as they were chanting, as they were meditating, as they were praying, as they were even in silence. And so the scientists go over there with their computers and so forth and just hook up a bunch of electrodes to, you know, a monk. And, you know, each one had a scientist in another room with a computer, and it was just monitoring brain waves and what sections of the brain would actually light up and have more activity as they were going through their chants. And it was just fascinating because they all found that these monks, as they got into like deeper, shall we say, even gamma, delta, you know, those waves, those brain waves, especially gamma, where it's just more like going, it's just going so fast. The scientists found that the part of the brain that just lights up like a Christmas tree is the prefrontal cortex, which has to do with our identity, which has to do with, let's say, the seat of compassion and understanding and mercy and grace. And the scientists were all, you know, excited and beside themselves. And they, you know, afterwards they come rushing out to the monks and, you know, detach them from all the electrodes and everything. And, you know, they got everybody together and they showed them the results and said, do you realize that when you all start meditating and you get into that very, very deep gamma, you know, brainwave, that, you know, that part of the brain lights up? And the monks just started to chuckle to themselves. They just started to, you know, kind of like not snicker, but they were laughing. And, you know, they told the scientists that, you know, not in so many words, but it's like, you know, hey, boys, you kind of wasted your time because we knew this all along. That's why we meditate. That's why we spend time in prayer, to awaken ourselves to greater levels of compassion, to awaken ourselves and just greater awareness of who we are and, you know, our identity and, you know, mercy and grace and love. And so, you know, they thanked them for doing the study, but it just kind of confirmed what the monks knew all along, that, you know, meditation has that kind of an effect on us. You know, an increased spiritual experience does affect us physically. And certainly research in the area of near-death experiences, you know, one of the areas that I'm really fascinated in, has also shown to affect people in terms of an emotional, psychological, physical, and even spiritual change, in which Kenneth Ring, one of the prominent researchers out there, he calls it a benign virus, in which people who have gone through such a radical shift in their awareness and desires and goals and everything as a result of having gone through a near-death experience can pass this on to others, that not everybody needs to have a near-death experience to awaken these things in themselves. And so he calls it that benign virus, of something that you can share with others that can also raise their vibrational spiritual awareness. But out there in the literature, there's often a lot of research and talk written and spoken about crystalline energy. And what is it? You know, and what is this shift that occurs in us and that moves us from, let's say, carbon energy to more of a crystalline or crystalline energy? And basically, it involves releasing of all the unneeded energies that are in us or through us and so forth, and replacing them with higher vibrations of love and light. And certainly crystalline energy is the energy of light and love, which means that anything that's not in alignment with that love and with our higher vibrational selves will gradually fade away. Because as we go into deeper and deeper and higher levels of spiritual awareness, there are things that just simply cannot follow. And so they can't. They eventually fade away as we let go of more and more things that simply no longer serve us. And as a society, we already know that cell memory occurs when people hold trauma in their body. And when trauma is severe enough, intense and everything, it can actually change our cells, our genes. And this was the study of epigenetics. And the studies that came out of traumatic experiences of World War II, as well as other atrocities, whereby, you know, the trauma that a person went through was stamped on a person's DNA, stamped in their genes, and just started to alter the genes. And that's how intergenerational trauma exists. It's passed on to future generations, as well as, you know, some behaviors and other things that are modeled for them. But certainly epigenetics came along and says, look, trauma can do this to us, even down on the cellular level. But interestingly enough, when we shift into higher consciousness or vibration, that too can create a change in our DNA and can break up trauma and its epigenetics that has altered, you know, these genes. And the same is true with our mental health. You know, there is such a thing as crystallized intelligence, which encompasses everything that we have learned and experienced and heard and tasted, and emotions that we've felt, and positive core memories and negative core memories. And all of these experiences are held in this crystallized intelligence, which, again, through studies have been shown to, you know, it becomes stronger and resilient in us over time. And this is why listening to the stories of our elders is so crucial for every generation. Because within those experiences, out of this crystallized intelligence, comes precious wisdom, teachings that we need to integrate into our own lives. But even within something so strong as crystallized intelligence, there are certainly unhealthy patterns of behaviors and distorted perspectives that need to be, shall we say, dissolved and released. And you are never too old to experience a radical shift in your vibrational awareness of your vast self. And these vibrational shifts, I think, just show up first and foremost in our relationships. You know, we can become more loving and more patient, more forgiving with ourselves and with others. You know, and when we ascend spiritually, it affects us physically. And even when we minister to another person, you know, their physical needs, it always has a spiritual effect or awakening on some level. In other words, the soul is touched too. Now, one of the things that I also would like to share is that as we heal, as we move out of our woundedness, we often catch glimpses of being pulled into a non-linear awareness of who we are, although it has not yet been fully realized. And higher dimensions of our awareness of ourselves and God and the universe allows us to really live in the pure light of unconditional love, knowing that we all are connected, that we are one. Our relationships are limitless, no longer perceived as being bound by time or space. And living in higher dimensions of our awareness means living from the heart. We connect through our hearts, and we can feel the connection and love instantly. And through this, we can discover and rediscover our true creative power. And all of these experiences then are embraced with gratitude, as the soul knows that everything has its purpose for our own growth and expansion of consciousness. But again, it's not just for ourselves. There's a story about a certain shopkeeper that sent his son to learn about the secret of happiness from the wisest man in the world. So he had to travel a distance. And so this boy wandered through the desert for 40 days, and he finally came upon a beautiful castle high atop this mountain. And it was there that the wise man lived. And ironically, rather than finding a saintly man, though, you know, the boy, our hero, on entering the main room of the castle, saw just a beehive of activity, just everybody coming and going. Tradesmen came and went. People were engaged in conversations, and even a small orchestra was off to the side playing very soft music. And there was a table covered with platters and the most delicious food in that part of the world. And so the boy met this wise man, and he asked for this wisdom. And so the wise man gave him a spoon with two drops of olive oil and told him, "You're free to go anywhere in the castle, but don't spill any oil." So the boy goes exploring through all this, and, you know, he is very careful. He keeps looking down at the spoon and make sure he's not spilling anything, and all proud of himself and everything. And he eventually comes back to the wise man, and he goes, "Look, sir, here is your spoon with the two drops of oil. I didn't spill anything." And the wise man smiled, took the spoon from him, and he just asked, "So as you were walking through my castle, did you happen to see my beautiful tapestries on the wall? Did you happen to see the dining room? Did you say hello to my gardener? Did you notice the beautiful parchments in the library?" And the boy was truly embarrassed, and he confessed that he didn't really see these things because he wasn't really looking for them. And the wise man said, "Well, then there's only one piece of advice I can give you, and that is the secret of happiness is to see all the marvels of the world and never forget the drops of oil on a spoon." The key for us is to always remain teachable and aware at all times. I'm Dr. James Houck, and you have been listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. So glad you were able to join me this hour, and invite you to tune in next week, 3 o'clock on Friday, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time, and join me as we continue delving into more of the alchemy of authenticity. Until then, take care and God bless.
For an answer, or just to leave 1,000 comments, or prodding to buy a book by Dr. Houck, it's all there. Just wander on over to ReclaimingAuthenticity.com and click around. And we'll see you next Friday at noon Pacific Time on PBS Radio TV.